Good morning. Well, we have a request today to continue with some more of our theme from last week. So today's theme is No Thinker, No Doer, Part Two. And as it was spoken last week, we take up today this most unlikely truth. There is no you to be a thinker, and there is no you to be a doer. And there is no you to know that. It just is as it is. So follow a breath in. And watch as it is released. And again, follow a breath in. And watch from awareness as it is released. There is nothing to think, and there is nothing to do. Rest in the knowing that there is no person to do speaking, and there is no persons to do the listening. It is just what is happening as life in this moment. So, in looking for the one who does the doing and does the thinking, we find that there needs to be a body and a mind combined with a belief in the concept of separation. And somehow, there is to be a me in charge of it all in order for there to be a somebody to do the thinking and the doing. But in this week past, with your practice, have you found that me that does the thinking and does the doing? For in order for there to be a me that is a thinker and a me that is a doer and that is not the presence of pure consciousness right in this moment, there would have to be an existence of that me. And there is no such me in existence. Consciousness is all, and I am that. Not a body, not a mind, not a thinker, not a doer, but the infinite present awareness consciousness. Without form, now, when mind plays the thoughts of a thinker and a doer, mind is playing all the parts. So what we presume as the action of thinking and the action of doing is all just thoughts rising to your awareness. And if you do not touch them, they drift right back down. But it is mind playing the parts. So let's look at a feeling of fear, for example. And perhaps the feeling or sensation of fear comes in the stomach or somewhere in the body. And the thoughts begin, such as, I am afraid of going to the doctor. Or, I am afraid of crossing busy streets. Or, I am afraid of not having enough funds. Or, I am afraid of dogs. Or spiders. Or cats. Or snakes. I think you get the idea there. And along with the feelings and thoughts, there remains this underlying belief, the assumption, if you will, that the one that is afraid is also the one that is going to the doctor, right? Do you not have a person there or a me there? So the underlying belief that the one is having the sensations, the experience, and the awareness of fearfulness is the one that is afraid, and that is the one that is going to cross the street, and that is also the one that is going to meet the dog or the spider or the cat. And that is also the one having the thoughts, is also the doer of the actions. Now, okay. So, you have become aware of a feeling, and that feeling is called fear. You're in awareness of it. And the thoughts come, I'm afraid to go to the doctor. I'm afraid of cats. I'm afraid of dogs. And the underlying assumption there, following the trail of a feeling, is that there is a person that is going to be going to see another person called a doctor. And that person that it is also going to be the one crossing the street, and that there is a person presence that has this fear of a dog or a cat or a spider. That is the underlying assumption that is following the feelings and sensations that you are but aware of. And that is mind at play. We already have the truth within us of not being a body, of not being a mind. And yet this assumption that there is a person there that is following the threads of emotions and feelings and thoughts. Again, that is mind at play. And mind will play both sides, positive, negative, good, bad, right, wrong. It plays both parts. So the thought might be, I am afraid to go to the doctor on one side. Okay? That goes along with the feeling and the sensation. But there is a counterpoint. And the next thought might just be, well, that's just being silly. I really need to speak with him. So on one side, mind is playing the part of a fearful someone. And it is also on the other side, playing the part of what seems like intelligence. Okay, that's just being silly. I really need to speak with him. So now think for a moment. How often have you listened to thoughts in argument? Meaning playing both sides of the conversation. That's where you come up with, I should, I shouldn't. Okay. It's like, okay, mind thought might say, I really shouldn't have this ice cream. And it will go on with all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't have the ice cream. Okay. And then next comes the thoughts rising that says, but it's okay this time. I worked hard today and I'm just going to relax a little bit with some nice ice cream. That is mind. That is not you. That is thoughts. That is mind. You're aware of them, but at some point you may yet be believing them. Okay, so that's mind. And mind always gives both sides. If you're paying attention, you must be recognizing mind gives both sides. Like, I need to take the garbage out. There's already a presumption that there is a me and an I that needs to do some action. Okay. Okay. Got that? And the next thought is, oh, that can wait a bit. I'll get to it later. Okay. That is mind. That is not you. You are aware of them, but as I say, perhaps still believing them. So it gives again this appearance, I am thinking. And if I take that garbage out, then I will be doing. So So it gives that projection. It gives that feeling within us that this is me thinking and doing. Okay. Yes, it does. This belief system does seem to hold up the concept that I am thinking. And it holds up the concept that I am doing something, either now or at some other time. I will be doing it. But again, these are the thoughts that in our practice we are to be aware of. We are to recognize the thoughts. We don't deny that there's thoughts. But through our clear seeing, through our practice, then comes the reality. Oh, these are just thoughts. These are thoughts about doing, and these are thoughts about thinking, but they're still just thoughts. Okay? So when there are thoughts or feelings, perhaps of being impatient, or being annoyed with a neighbor, for instance. Okay. Mind presents the feeling. Okay. And mind presents the judgment through thought against the neighbor. And mind is also the one with the thoughts that there actually is a neighbor. And not yourself there. Okay. And then mind brings up another feeling, perhaps of guilt. Okay. There is a presumption that is held that if we, in our judgment, do something as to what we call wrong, we bring this feeling of guilt and we presume it to be our guilt for doing something wrong. It is a feeling. It is a feeling, one that you just sit with, but do not claim. So we presume this guilt upon ourselves for being judgmental. We presume it. And then mind thoughts states that I should be more understanding. I should be more forgiving. So again, mind is playing both parts. Mind, this feeling rose. There was a judgment. Mind makes the judgment through thoughts. A judgment thought, and then mind brings up the scenario about being guilty for having done the judgment. So if you can see that clearly, if you can see how mind plays both parts, where does that leave you? That leaves you as the divine presence of awareness. Without the encumbrance of a belief system in believing the thoughts that come into your awareness. Mind plays both parts. But at no point in all of the little scenarios we just went through, At no point in all of that are you consciously present. Now, how can we say you are not consciously present? If you, consciousness, are believing still the thoughts about being a person, then you, consciousness, are yet unconscious to being who you are. Not that you are not present, not that you are not here, but you're yet being unconscious to the truth that you are not the thoughts that you become aware of. You are not the feelings that you become aware of. You are not the emotions that you become aware of. You are but aware. So that would be why we would either say conscious or unconscious. There's no thing else here but consciousness. And either you are knowing, I am consciousness, or you are yet unconscious. Okay. To that truth. And sometimes we slip into it and out of it as we shed these old beliefs. Okay? At times we're very quite aware, I am consciousness, I am awareness, because we remain in that place of serenity and peace as the happenings of the moment march before our awareness. And then sometimes we will have that same parade going on and we will succumb and join the parade for a while. Okay. But at some point, again, you become conscious and aware that you are following that parade and you step back and you, once again, you're just watching the happenings of what is happening. And I have to, speak, I think at this point would be a good thing to speak to the emotions. When there is an emotion, there is crying or there is sobbing or there is an uncomfortableness that is being presented in the happening of what is now, that too must be seen with the light of love, and this too is but happening in this moment. There is nothing wrong with emotions. There's nothing wrong with feelings. So at some point you recognize you are either consciously aware or unconsciously involved in the parade. But at no point, again, is God speaking or thinking those thoughts. And at no point is God making judgments. So if there is thoughts of judgment that rise, let them rise. What do you really what do you really care about a thought? Unless you are in that belief system that I can be good and I can be bad. And if I'm bad, then I need some kind of a punishment. Okay? I need some kind of a guilt trip. But we lay all of that on ourselves, and there is that that covering over, that veiling over the presence with these belief systems about a fantasy person. So in regards to thoughts. Okay, since God is not thinking and God is not judging and God is not doing, then you cannot possibly be thinking, doing, or judging, because you are that presence of God. And when the thought rises of judgment, or even the activity of judgment, speaking of a neighbor, that too is just what's happening in the moment. And if you leave it alone, if you just let it be, if you just let that spoken judgment be, or just let that spoken anger, let it be, you will find that you, God, are still present, always have been. The universe is still the universe and life is still flowing. You have done nothing whatsoever to disrupt the flow of life by having an angry word emote from this mouth, or having an angry thought fly through my awareness. I have done nothing to disrupt the presence of God, myself. So again, at no point is God speaking or thinking the thoughts, they just are. And at no point is God making judgment. It is all just thoughts rising up. And that you, consciousness, may still be taking as to be the truth about you, God. Mind, thoughts, always plays both parts. There is no you, me involved in the thoughts. They're just thoughts. It's just as if I would make marks on the wall. They're just marks on the wall. Nothing to do with nothing. Okay. Nothing to do with nothing. In your spiritual understanding, you are to be aware that mind is speaking both parts. That is you maturing in the understanding, I am consciousness, I am not thoughts. That is for you to unfold in that awareness. I can't say it often enough. Thoughts are just thoughts. If you want to watch them and play with them, understand they're just thoughts. They're not your thoughts. They're not my thoughts. They're just thoughts. It's like you're blowing outside, blowing bubbles. They're just bubbles. They're not my bubbles, they're not your bubbles. They're just bubbles floating in the wind. That's all that they are. Okay? So it's important to understand that, because there comes up this thought now and again where you want to get rid of the thoughts. You want to get rid of the mind, but that's only because of a belief that the mind and the thoughts have something to do about you and that they have some of this magical power where they just hang around and cause you all kinds of aggravation. But they're just thoughts. You don't have to believe them. Okay. So there's no need to get into the chaos ball of wanting to do something about mind and thoughts. You don't need to get rid of the mind. You don't need to try to subdue it or suppress it or anything of that need. There's no need to attempt to get rid of mind or thoughts. If you step back and really have a reflection on what thoughts and mind are, you will find that mind is a wonderful instrument when you begin to see clearly, when you begin to use the mind, perhaps in a study or perhaps in some way of poetry, or perhaps in some way of a new invention, or perhaps in some way, when you begin to understand mind or thoughts are here or thinking, that is here as an instrument. Okay. It is not here as a master. It is not here to cause suffering. It is not here to cause pain. It is just, oh, for want of better terminology, an apparatus of bubbling up thoughts. But when you can see clearly, it becomes such a beautiful instrument when you choose to use it as such. But you are meant to see clearly the play that mind creates. And you are meant to see clearly the illusions of what it tries to present. And you're to see that with conscious intelligence. Clear seeing is what you can call being awake. Okay. So to come out from under the false allegations of thoughts and doing, this might be too simple. Just be quiet. Stillness is your nature. Okay. And just watch the play of thoughts. And watch the play of the body in action or non-action. But rest in the awareness of what is being presented. And see if there are any red flags there. And see the many opportunities being presented to be still. So we rest back in awareness and we watch the thoughts, we watch the play of thoughts, and we are just being what we are. awareness. We are then being the presence of awareness, which is what I am. But there has to become that disconnect, that disattachment to the thoughts. Now, this is not saying that if there is some danger or if there is some situation that we are to ignore it. No, we are going to use mind and we are going to be still and allow that which is present to come forth spontaneously and speak as it is doing now, to move the hands as it is doing now, and to fulfill whatever need is needed in that instant. Thou knowest my every need. Okay. So we don't ignore but neither do we believe. We rest in the reality that that which is to happen in the moment will happen as it is needed. You have and you are divine intelligence. And that divine intelligence, if there is to be guidance, that intelligence, which is the I that you are, is ever present. So thoughts in doing what is being spoken on that is not to believe them as belonging to a separate person, but that they are just a happening of the moment. When you come into that recognition of clear seeing, you find there really is nothing you need to do about thoughts. No doing, no thinking. So take a breath. Follow it in deeply. And watch as it releases out. Notice how the body is feeling, or notice how the body is reacting as you follow a breath. Again, follow a breath in. Just be aware of the body, how it's feeling. And then aware of the breath out. That is a wonderful one moment to bring you back to an awareness and a settling back into the body. Settle there. That's a grounding. Okay. So Now, there is nothing wrong with any feeling or any emotion, and there is nothing wrong with thoughts. Again, there is nothing wrong with any feeling whatsoever, a feeling of frustration, a feeling of anger, a feeling of guilt. Now, these are all labels, mind you, that we put on different sensations. We have no idea of a feeling that we call guilt is actually a feeling of guilt. Without mind and thought, it's just a feeling, guys. Just a feeling. So we have no idea if that is actually a guilt feeling. We have labeled it as such, but we all know what labels are, right? So there's nothing wrong with any feeling. And I can say that because you don't really know what that feeling is. You really don't. It's like you don't really know what this is. Now, we have been taught and conditioned, and it is a commonness to say this is a hand. But if I were to take a newborn baby and I began teaching it that this is foot, this is foot, this is foot, this is a foot, this is a foot. When I would say to the baby to raise your left foot, that baby would do this. He's been taught that this is foot. So how do we really, really know what it is? It just is. And it is the same with feelings. There's labels all over the sensation of feeling and labels all over emotions. I mean, has anyone ever said to you, oh, you shouldn't be feeling that way? You don't need to feel that way. No. Or don't be so emotional. There's nothing wrong with emotions or experiencing the depth of an emotion. Or experiencing the depth of a feeling. There's nothing wrong with feelings or emotions. And again, you don't even really know what they are. You're going by labels. And actually, labels that someone has placed upon them, however long ago we started naming things. Okay. And there's so definitely nothing wrong with thoughts. Thoughts will rise and it will be a certain way, and right behind it, mind will rise another thought saying, that was not a nice thought. You shouldn't have thought that. And both parts. It's almost like a setup, okay? It will bring up a thought of a certain character, and we view that thought, we're aware of that thought, and then right behind it, it brings up the counterpoint and says, oh, you shouldn't have thought that thought. That wasn't very nice. So It's like, yeah, it's like mind, there's a setup there. Mind's setting us up, you know. But when you begin to see the play of mind doing both sides, it becomes quite funny that we have succumbed to its illusion for such a long time. And you just step back and it's just you that the head is going, oh my God, you know, how many decades have I have I believed this joker? So again, that clear seeing is such a joy. So, but there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with the thoughts. I don't care how gross or how lustful they might be. I don't care. I don't care about the feelings or emotions, whatever mind comes up with about saying how awful they are or how gross they are or how decadent, you know, doesn't matter. It's still a train, a choo-choo train of thoughts going by, you know, one after the other. So we're pulling that off to the side rail. We're gonna pull that train off to the side rail with some clear seeing and understand that there's nothing wrong with thoughts. They're going to come and go. There's nothing wrong with feelings or emotions. They come and go. It is the nature of those things to do such. Because they're not reality, they have to give that illusion of coming and going. They're not reality. Only reality is without coming and without going. Only reality is eternal. And that reality, you are that. You are that. So there's nothing wrong with them. But you do come again with a sensation of suffering from some thoughts and some feelings and emotion. But the suffering, the sensation of suffering comes from believing that they are my feelings. They are my personal emotion. They are my personal thoughts. And this is my suffering. Why? Because the mind is saying that they're mine. Quite literally, the presence that you are is not saying that. It doesn't speak in that way. Well, not often, but it speaks more from the residence of the heart in peace and silence. It doesn't speak as a train going by, one repetitious thought after another. Okay, that's the illusion. So the suffering that sensation of suffering that you become aware of is also based on thoughts and thinking and doing. Okay. They come from believing that all of those things belong to a personal me. That is the thinker and the doer. Okay. But once there is this belief system back in place, okay, or you find yourself following the belief system, what happens with that is now the door is open. You've opened the door, and here again comes that all too common thought and feeling, I'm not there yet. See, I'm suffering. I'm suffering. I have all of these thoughts. So that thought then in ignorance is believed. I mean, the other thoughts are believed only from an ignorance, and the only ignorance that is the ignorance that I am not yet fully recognizing I am consciousness. and not thoughts and thinking. Okay, so that thought comes in again, and out of that ignorance, I pick up the thought, I believe the thought, and in believing this thought, I perpetuate the sensation of suffering. Now, it's not the thought that is doing anything. The thoughts are just like words going across the screen. That's all that they are, like words coming across the screen, and you're aware of them. But when you believe them as being personally belonging to me, then comes that sensation, that feeling of suffering. Although the thought is not true, and the thought will never be true, and you suffer not from the thought, because there's nothing wrong with that thought, you experience the sensation of suffering from believing it. Okay. We experience the sensation of suffering from believing the thoughts of being a thinker and a doer. Within you is no suffering. That's why we can say suffering is an illusion. But you will feel that sensation of suffering by believing that I am the thinker and I am the doer. I am the doer of actions and deeds. All is life flowing. Thoughts are life just flowing. Feelings and emotions are life just flowing. You are not meant to pick them up and believe them any longer. And therein lies your eternal freedom, your eternal life. Just by seeing the thoughts, thinking and doing as not being the reality of a separate person. Okay. If you have just in case there's a lot of it coming up, yeah, but what about this thought, or what about this doing, or what about that activity, or what about this? What about that? You can bring them up now if you like, or if you have a comment.
Thank you, Mary. It's much clearer now.
You're welcome, love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Of course, you can always call too as well. Oh. Okay. Well, that is a lot to digest, I guess. So, and that's what you do. You're going to just sit with it and watch the thoughts. And when the thoughts try to tempt you into being a doer and being a thinker, and you can see that clearly, you will know what I mean when I say, therein lies your freedom. When you transcend that belief that I am a separate person and I am a thinker and I am the doer.
Mary,
Yes, love.
I just caught one.
You caught one. You caught a thought.
Yeah, it was, I must be more aware.
Yep, that's just a thought.
It's just the doer.
You're the presence of awareness itself. You can't get any more aware than that.
I caught it. It's good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, if you do have any questions, and you can call or email, and we'll take care of those. So we'll be done with this for today. And thank you very much.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you, thank you, thank you. Let us
Thank you.
pray. Yeah. Yeah. Most beloved self, I am beyond all thoughts of any kind or any nature. I am beyond all doing of any kind or any nature. I am without thinking and without doing. I am the presence of awareness of all that is. Om, Amen, Namaste.